has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the January 21st edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, not only do we have day-to-day volatility, not only do we have intraday volatility, but we have intra-hour, minute-to-minute volatility. So far this morning, the market's been down 100, it's been up 60, and right now it's down 30. All over the place. Volatility, which I wrote about in my most recent newsletter. Right now, the Dow is down 32 points. 17,483 is where we stand. The S&P 500, on the other hand, which has also been all over the map, is positive right now. The S&P 500 is up 3 to 2,025, and the NASDAQ is positive by 6. To 4,660, and of course the Dow is being weighted heavily to the downside by IBM, one of those boring old stocks of yesteryear. Definitely not a best stock now, is it? Crude oil flat, $46.35. We seem to be holding this mid-40 area. But having said that, we haven't really been there long enough for my taste. We need to hold that level a little bit longer, maybe several weeks more before we know for sure that a bottom has been put in the oil market. Gold, on the other hand, finally saw 1,300 for the first time. This is the best start to gold for a year in quite some time. You got to go back to 2007. Gold continues to have my interest. The euro is at 1.16, continues to drop, and the 10-year yield is at 1.79. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. IBM is a great example of a stodgy old stock of yesteryear. And with my newsletter being called Best Stocks Now, with my show being called Best Stocks Now, with my app being called Best Stocks Now, IBM just doesn't fit the profile of a best stock now. In fact, it continues to report earnings quarter after quarter that do not live up to estimates. Now, having said that, let's just make sure. Let's go to beststocksnowapp.com and let's type in IBM and let's see where IBM is ranked overall right now. IBM is ranked at number 1,900 out of 3,942. The only saving grace that I can give to IBM is that it's fairly cheap right now. But then again, so is day-old bread. You can get it for half price right now. The P.E. ratio on IBM is 9 right now. So in reality, it should be a value investor's dream. But the other half of that equation is the performance numbers, all right? And the performance numbers of IBM have just been dismal. Over the last 5 years, IBM has delivered to its shareholders 5.8% per year. You say, well, what's wrong with that? I'd take that. Well, the market overall has delivered 12.2. IBM has sharply underperformed the market over the last 5 years. And worse yet, over the last 3 years, IBM has been going backwards, not forward, backwards by 4% per year over the last 3 years, while the market's been going forward by 15% per year. And over the last 12 months, IBM is down 15% while the market's up 9%. That's some serious, serious lagging of the market. And this $150 billion market cap company is obviously a drag on the Dow. It's a drag on the S&P 500. It's a drag on Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway fund. It's hitting a new 52-week low again this week. But a value investor would say, well, it's trading at single-digit P/E ratio of just 9, and it offers a 2.9% dividend yield, and you get paid to wait and wait and wait and wait some more. You know, I mean, stocks have life cycles. They're not, IBM is not the growth engine that it once was. In fact, as I look at the most recent four quarters at their sales growth, minus 4%, minus 2%, minus 4%, minus 12%. And as I look at their most recent four quarters of earnings growth or lack thereof, I actually see a couple of positive quarters there, plus 9, plus 10. And then the most recent two quarters, their earnings were down 10% from the previous comparable quarter, and down 6%. So you know what? It's just as important for me to give you some examples of bad stocks now, mediocre stocks now, as it is to give you examples of best stocks now. And as you look at your portfolio, you have to ask yourself, am I in the vibrant companies of today, the well-managed companies that are putting money into shareholders' pockets, or am I in a lot of these stodgy old stocks of yesteryear? This week we had earnings from Johnson & Johnson, which has been better than IBM, but is Johnson & Johnson really on the cutting edge of discovery anymore? Look at Johnson & Johnson's growth rate here recently. Last four quarters of sales growth, plus 3%. Plus 9%, that was a good quarter, plus 5%, and minus, negative 1%. And over the last 5 years, Johnson & Johnson has been growing by 5% per year. That's their earnings. And I give you example after example of companies that have been growing by 20 to 25% per year. And all things being equal, the company that's growing by 25% per year, as long as you buy it right, should run circles around the company that's growing by 5% per year, because earnings growth almost always equates to stock price appreciation. And when where there is no earnings growth, there more than likely will be zero stock price appreciation other than that dividend, which brings up another point. Buying a stock for its dividend, that's just part of the equation. If you get a 2.8% dividend on Johnson & Johnson and the stock goes down by 5%, you have a net loss of 2.2%. And you know, I've had people sit across my desk from me and argue that point. Well, I'm still getting my dividend. What do I care? Well, it's all about total return. What good did the dividend do you? That dividend came from your money. And you lost some money on top of that. Your net result is you lost money in the transaction. And that's the problem I have with the bond market right now. You can buy the bonds that are going to pay you the coupon yield. And if you're going to hold them to maturity, which very few people do, you're going to get your original investment back. But along the way, while you own those bonds, if there's any kind of bump up in interest rates or rising interest rate trend, what you make in coupon rate will be given up and lost by capital depreciation. So it might be a good exercise to go through your list of stocks that you own, go through your list of mutual funds that you own, go through your list of exchange-traded funds that you own, and look up the ranking, my proprietary ranking that takes into account valuation, which is quite good on IBM, but it loses it big time when it comes to the performance and relative strength numbers, and it loses it big time when we look at the stock chart. A simple stock chart will show you that IBM has been in a downtrend since 2013. I don't like to buy downtrends, so it's up to you. Every investor has to decide for themselves what kind of investor they are. Do you want to own big, stodgy, old, mediocre stocks? And you could argue, well, IBM's not going anywhere. And you're right. I agree. It's probably not going anywhere. I want stocks that hopefully are going somewhere. When we come back, I'll have some examples of what I mean by that. It's always good to contrast the good with the bad. Sometimes we throw in the ugly. To me, IBM is the ugly. When we come back, we'll talk about some best stocks now and the attributes that they possess and the vibrancy that they possess. Now let's go out and find 25 or 30 of those and make a portfolio and create a roster. Let's put a winning team on the field. No guarantees, but the potential is there. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Thank you.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, every once in a while, I have to throw in a couple of clunkers. We've already talked about one. That's enough for today. We threw in two clunkers. In my opinion, they're clunkers. IBM and Johnson & Johnson are clunkers. Yet, if you go to a lot of the national wirehouse brokerage firms and open an account, I mean, these are favorites. These are darlings of these big brokerage houses to put you in the big names of yesteryear, the Ciscos, the Johnson & Johnsons, the IBMs, the Citigroups, the Bank of Americas, the Microsofts of the world. They're not going anywhere, they'll tell you, and it's true in my opinion. That can be taken either way. I don't think they're going anywhere either. Instead, I would rather own companies where something's going on, vibrant, moving, it's flourishing, as opposed to just getting by, which I equate with the word mediocre or mediocrity. I don't want mediocrity. We've seen plenty of mediocrity. We've had a mediocre baseball franchise in San Diego for many, many years. Finally, some new ownership came in and infused some life into this thing. We got four or five players in the offseason. We got away from the mediocre, and we've put in some guys that actually have shown some pretty doggone good potential and have had some pretty good track records. I'm excited. There's no guarantees. We could finish in the cellar again. But the potential is there to really be a contender this year. Now the onus is on the manager, and that's part of being a manager in the stock market too. Not only do you have to do your best to put the best team on the field, but you also have to manage that team on a daily basis. You can't just go to sleep and tell them to go out there and play the game. Just do what you want to do. There has to be some management of that team along the way. Now, just because a company has reached a certain size doesn't necessarily eliminate it from the potential of being a best stock now. In fact, the next company I'm going to talk about is a $29 billion company. Okay, it's still a lot smaller than IBM, which I think stands for IB Mediocre. Instead, we've got a company in a country where there's something going on right now. There's some enthusiasm. There's some growth. There's some excitement taking place. Back in May of last year, in fact, May 23rd to be exact, I added a big position to almost all of the accounts that I own, that I manage here at Gunderson Capital Management. I bought a big position in a mutual fund because it contained stocks that were very difficult for me to buy on the exchanges. There, a lot of them are trade on the Bombay Stock Exchange and other London World Markets and except very difficult for me to buy. So I bought a mutual fund that is in India because I saw something happening in India. Out with the old socialist government. Hey, by the way, that didn't work for them. Their economy floundered while they had their socialist government in place. In the meantime, there was a governor in the country of India that was doing really well with his state. And the people of India elected him as the new president. And man, is he going to town. That India mutual fund, since I purchased it on May 23rd, is up 33% so far. And it continues to rise. I continue to like the India story. And even though I'm not real enamored with the emerging markets right now, I believe that India is going to eventually surpass China as the fastest growing economy in the world. Narendra Modi has his foot on the accelerator and he's doing all the right things to build an economy based on capitalism, not socialism. We should do what works. We know what works and we know what doesn't work. How many failed socialistic experiences has there been over the years? Anyways, that's just me. HDB is the name of the bank, the Indian financial institution that has a network of 3,400 branches in 2,171 Indian cities. HDFC is currently hitting new highs. And it's a stock that I own here at Gunderson Capital Management. It also pays a little dividend, 0.5%. I would not own a U.S. bank stock. Well, I take that back. I own Wells Fargo in my dividend income account because it's been a pretty good one over the years. But as it relates to Bank of America, as it relates to Citigroup, no thanks. All right. HDB, on the other hand, over the last 10 years has delivered to its investors 23% per year. No guarantees going forward. By contrast, Citigroup has delivered minus 19.2. Does anybody ever tell you that? When they have the Citigroup CEO on TV, do they ever disclose on CNBC that if you bought Citigroup 10 years ago and compared to where it is today and you did the math, that's an average of minus 19% per year? That's pretty horrific. That's one of the worst performing stocks in the entire market. Okay, Citigroup, in fact, has gone nowhere over the last 12 months. It's down 9% again. It's still on that same course, and yet it's a $142 billion company. HDB, on the other hand, has been going surging forward. Over the last 3 years, HDB up 26.3% per year. It runs circles. It has run circles around Citigroup. Obviously, no guarantees going forward. And over the last 12 months, HDB is up 70%. Why? Because there's change taking place. There's change taking place in India. Narendra Modi is bringing India back into today's world economy, today's global economy. And it's got to help the people of India to be back into the world. Some of the great engineers and great developers in the world reside in India. Some of the best schools in the world. Why not take advantage of it and grow your economy? And it's growing. In fact, I read an article the other day that said that it shouldn't be too long before India surpasses China as a growth engine once again. This has created a major opportunity for investors. And like I say, my little mutual fund in India is up 35% since I bought it so far. I also own some closed-end funds in India, and I also own some individual stocks like HDB. When we look at the 3,942 different stocks in my database right now, HDB comes in at number 169. You can go scroll down and you can look at when I started first talking about HDB, when I first started featuring HDB, and how it's done since then, and I continue to own it. Not a recommendation, but an example of a best stock now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home. and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets. Not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we've talked a little bit about the earnings season that's underway and some of the mediocre reports coming from some of the mediocre companies like the IBMs of the world and the Johnson & Johnsons of the world. Instead, we look for a little bit more vibrancy, a little bit more buoyancy, a little bit more flourishing in this economy, in this current environment that the world presents on the financial stages of life. And we're looking for those that are doing better than the rest, because we want to do everything we can do to field the best possible team that we can field. And right now it's coming from different walks of life. India is one of the different areas that I currently like a lot. Have a pretty big exposure to India. Happy with it so far. Up anywhere from 30 to 40% since last May, which is not bad. That's quite a bit better than the overall market. And I think that the India story still has a lot further to go. And we're getting some economic reports this week. Nothing yet here that I've seen that's going to derail the economy, that's going to make interest rates intolerable, nothing to kick inflation into gear. In fact, that we seem to be more worried about deflation, nothing to take a bite out of GDP. The jobs numbers, yeah, you know what? I mean, we're going to start seeing some of these layoffs show up, I think probably from the oil patch, but I think overall it's going to be a very negligible number, nothing that we really need to worry about. Gold above $1,300 an ounce, definitely a story and something that I'm watching, and I still have not bought or added any gold stocks to my portfolios yet, but I have several that are very high on my watch list right now. What gold really wants is massive stimulus from the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi. That would send gold continuing to soar. And if the stimulus is on the puny side, then, you know, that may end and kill the rally in gold. And that's why I haven't really bit into the precious metals yet. But I'm looking. We'll see. I've been out for the last 3 years or so. I did take one little dive maybe a year ago, and it quickly fizzled out. Gold has had many false starts over the last 3 or 4 years. Because I think every time it starts to move, you've got a lot of people that bought it at $1,900 an ounce that are happy to get back to $1,300 an ounce so they can unload it and get into the stock market. And that's going to happen for quite some time. There's a lot of overhead resistance out there in gold. A lot of sellers that would like to dump their gold, but not at these prices, they say. So you're always fighting that overhead resistance out there from people that own it at a higher price. All right, we talked about HDB Bank, which is a good example of the India story, and how an India bank is running circles around banks here in the U.S. of A. I wonder if Buffett with Berkshire Hathaway would ever buy a foreign stock. I don't think he's ever bought. Yeah, maybe he has. I think he's bought some private companies from countries around the world. But I don't know that he would ever own an HDB bank. I know he's a big owner of Wells Fargo. Anyways, let's go down to the other end of the spectrum. HDB is a large cap. I would still say, you know, it's not the most conservative play out there. It is in a country that can be volatile from time to time, but India's on the right track right now. And as you look at the valuation, as you look at the relative strength, as you look at the stock chart of HDB, everything is favorable. In fact, very favorable right now. Now let's go down to the other end of the spectrum and let's take a look at a small cap stock that's busting loose right now. It's one that I added to my newsletter, let's see, on January the 13th. Wow, that's just 8 days ago. It was at I bought it at $50.97. The prices that I use in the newsletter are the actual buy price that I received when I buy a block of stock and divvy it up on a proportional basis amongst my clients. That's the actual trade price. $50.97 on January the 13th, 2015. This is in my aggressive account, which focuses more on small, mid-cap type stocks, younger companies, not the Johnson & Johnsons of the world, the other end of the spectrum. This is a company that's now $55 per share. Hey, that's a good move. 10% so far in 8 days. That I got lucky there on the timing. This is a company that's headquartered in New York. Optotech Corp. OPHT. I've been watching it. It's a biotech. It's a small cap. It makes no money. It came public last year, an IPO. They develop therapeutics to treat diseases of the eye. Okay, and I've had good success over the years with Regeneron, which is now, Regeneron is now a $43 billion company. And they do the same kind of thing, but they have a lot of products now. And macular degeneration is one of their major products, a treatment for that. And Ophthotech is hoping to have someday some drugs that they get paid for, a product. Right now they have no product. They have no sales. They're trying to come up with therapeutics to treat diseases of the eye, including wet age-related macular degeneration. My sister is just recently retired. She was a physical therapist down in Florida for many years. And I had a conversation with her once about nursing homes and all the folks that end up in nursing homes or in assisted living homes, which our mother ended up in her final few years in assisted living. And my sister said, well, one of the biggest reasons that people end up, or a leading cause, is macular degeneration. They go blind. They can't care for themselves. This is a major problem. And any kind of drug or any kind of treatment that will help with this could be a boon to our economy, or to the medical expense, the cost of going into nursing homes, etc. And that's why I've had kind of a keen eye on these stocks that work in that area. And Ophthotech is one of those companies. Now, Ophthotech, like I say, just came public in 2013. So the only track record that we have on the stock, despite, a very promising pipeline of drugs, the stock is up 73% over the last 12 months. And as I look at the price action of the stock, we can't put a valuation on it. You can't put a valuation on something that's intangible. Now, you can do a lot of what ifs. Well, what's the size of the market that they're addressing? What's the chance that they'll get a drug that will be effective? What percent of that market do they have the opportunity to grab from the competitor? All of these are a lot of what ifs. How do you put a valuation on something like that? That's why this is a stock that belongs down in the aggressive growth portfolio. Now, when it comes to really aggressive stocks like this, I like to own about 40. I make my positions about 2.5% of my overall portfolio because there's a higher risk here in this end of the market. But I've been watching Ophthotech, and in fact, a month ago it showed up in my overall ranking system as number 115. It caught my eye. In fact, I sent out a tweet, actually back in December of last year. I said, this stock, OPHT, looks real interesting. It's now number 180, and at that time, I had no position. Then on January the 9th, I sent out another tweet, nice breakout in OPHT today, number 85 overall, and I disclosed that I am long in my aggressive growth accounts. And then I tweeted again yesterday, very large breakout in Ophthotech today, number 177 overall. I am long in the aggressive growth portfolio. And the stock continues to break out today. It had a massive breakout to the upside yesterday. So anyways, look, this is an aggressive one. It's one we own at Gunderson Capital Management. We have about a 2.5% overall position in our aggressive growth portfolios. Not a recommendation, but an example of what I consider to be a best stock now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to
function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
I've been in the right place, but must have been the wrong time. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, you've got to determine for yourself, you know, what kind of stocks that you want to own in your portfolio. And I think there's a misnomer that when people think of IBM and Johnson & Johnson, they think of safety. These are the safest stocks. Citigroup, these are the safe ones. These are the ones that have been around for a long time. And I don't think that just because they've been around for a long time, they present the best opportunity. I don't think those two go hand in hand. The recognizable names aren't the best stocks now. And yet I've seen portfolios come to me with all the usual suspects: General Electric, Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, IBM, Cisco. What do all these stocks have in common? They're stocks of yesteryear. They're not best stocks now, today. They were at one time in their career. Manny Ramirez was one of the top hitters, with a little help from his friends, one of the best hitters. Some of these pitchers in baseball, you know, they're a shell of what they once were. The old fastball has not got the movement that it used to have. Tim Lincecum. And others, you know, even the guy on Detroit, Verlander doesn't seem to have the same movement he had on that fastball that he had several years ago. Well, you know what? There's new young bucks coming up that have that kind of movement on their fastball. And they're kind of the ones that are flourishing in today's world. The Clayton Kershaws of the world, right? You want to own them when they're at their prime, or when they're approaching their prime, or when they have that huge potential. That's just my opinion. You want a vibrant and growing portfolio if possible. Even then, there's still no guarantees, you know. That's all you're trying to do is put the very best players on the field. You have to think of yourself as the general manager. You're the Theo Epstein of the Chicago Cubs. You're the Theo Epstein of your own portfolio. The Dave Dombrowski of the Detroit Tigers. You're the guy. You're the gal that's putting those players on your field. And you know what I found? One thing that I've done wrong recently is I've overmanaged. You can't panic. You can't panic every time something comes along. If you own some really good promising stocks, unless something drastically changes, and it does from time to time, no question about that. You can also overmanage a portfolio. And, you know, I mean, you kind of have to let things sit, let them play out. Once you've found stuff that's had a great track record, that's put money in investors' pockets over the years, it still represents a good value, you got to give them some time to work, don't you? Anyways, the other thing that I would address here would be risk tolerance. You know, some people think they're aggressive, that they have a risk tolerance of aggressive stocks, like the Optotechs of the world or others of that ilk. You know, when you find out whether you really have the tolerance for higher risk stocks is when we get a 10% correction in the market, because a lot of times the aggressive stocks will adjust by 15% when the market adjusts by 10%. And then people will see that other stocks only went down 5% while the market went down 10%. And those were the more conservative, stodgy old stocks. that never move much one way or the other, but they definitely go down less when the market goes down. At least they usually do. And then people decide, well, maybe my risk tolerance is conservative. Let's switch over to conservative, large cap stocks. Because generally speaking, as you go down the ladder in market capitalization, a $150 billion company is going to have a lower beta. It's going to have less fluctuation as opposed to the market, less deviation than a small cap biotech stock, which can really fly one way or the other. It's going to have a much higher beta. And that's something you can look up. You can look up what's the beta. Let's just see what OPHT's beta is, if we've got one here. The beta on OPHT, which I'm not finding right now, the beta, where did they put that? There it is. It's 0.54. That's actually not too bad. What's the beta on IBM? IBM's beta is 0.73. Well, IBM's more volatile, at least recently. That's not a good example. But generally speaking, as you go down the market capitalization ladder, the smaller stocks have higher risk than the larger stocks. So you have to determine the things that you have to take into account are, number one, your time horizon. If you've got 1 year to put some money aside before retirement, you probably don't want to be in high beta aggressive type stocks. If you've got 5 years or 7 years before retirement, you can afford to take a little bit more risk and ride through the higher ups and the lower downs that come with the territory. And then, you know, everybody has their own risk tolerance. You know, I see these guys climbing the face of Yosemite without any types of ropes, free climbing. That's not me. I don't have that kind of risk tolerance. I'm not a daredevil. I'm not a thrill seeker. Not me, I'm staying on the ground. I'll take pictures. I'll be the cameraman. I'm not going up that face of that cliff. Everybody has a different risk tolerance. I imagine those guys that are free climbing the face of Yosemite probably really like biotech stocks. They're not going to own Johnson & Johnson or Cisco. So everybody has their own chemical makeup, their fear, their greed ratio. Some people like to take more risk than others. Some people like to take very little risk. They go to the Grand Canyon and they won't even let the kids go up to the fence and look over into the pit down there. They're afraid that they'll fall in. Other people, you know, are not only going to go look, they're going to climb up on top of the railing and get a picture while they're standing on top of the railing doing a handstand. It's everybody to each his own. So anyways, you have to kind of define where your risk tolerance is. Think about it. You know, what do you like? Are you a daredevil? No. Then you're going to want to be more in mid and large cap stocks. If you're a daredevil and you've got time frame ahead, you've got higher upside potential in the smaller cap, more aggressive stocks. Anyways, the portfolio addresses all of, or the newsletter addresses all of that every week. PWStreet.com, get on our weekly mailing list. And we manage money for all types of folks. 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.